So Scott is about to go through like this major life transformation. Not transformation yet, but it's like this big thing that he has to do this weekend, a leap. We got to get to that here in just a second. But we've been asking you to submit your intros for the podcast, and we have a new one today. Woo! Let's see who from the Platypus Posse do we have helping us start the podcast today.
Hi, it's Suzanne from Snellville, Georgia. You're listening to the hilarious, heartwarming, feels like you're talking to your best friend show. It's the Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast with Miguel Fuller, Holly O'Connor, and Scotty the Body Tavlin. Platypus! Enjoy the show, y'all.
Yes!
Oh, that was great!
Holly, have you ever heard of Snellville, Georgia, girl?
No. I don't know. I figured it's something.
Unscripted.
Unshackled.
Uncouth.
What you're about to hear is for mature ears only.
It's Miguel Fuller.
I would show anything. I'd show my hee-hee and my hoo-hoo and my ha-ha.
Holly O'Connor.
Hey, Daddy, you want to take this to the bedroom?
And Scotty the Body.
I am officially not only the grill daddy, but I'm a hot grill daddy.
Oh, wow.
It's the Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast.
Only from Hot 101.5, Tampa Bay's new hit music.
Sorry I cut you off there, Holly.
That's okay. I didn't know what was happening, and I don't ever care that I get cut off. It's fine.
I care, Holly.
Oh, you should care.
I want to know what you think.
Thank you.
Snellville, Georgia, Holly, you never heard of it?
No.
No?
I don't know. I figured it's somewhere in the outskirts of Atlanta. I don't know.
Yeah. We have, I feel like Atlanta, we have, or Georgia, some of these like weird, super southern, like I'll have to compile a list of like the most crazy ass, sort of like if you are from Georgia and there is a county called, it's spelled like Houston.
Like Houston, Texas.
Yes, but it's Houston. That's how you pronounce it. And they get really upset if you say it incorrectly.
That's like Lima, Ohio. In the actual country is Lima in South America, I believe. Mm. But in Lima, it's Lima. And they also had one. Oh, in Ohio, they had Belle Fountain.
Belle Fountain.
Except it was spelled like lovely. It was spelled Bella Fontaine. But ooh, it was Belle Fountain.
Belle Fountain. We have somebody on the hotline. Go ahead and put him on, Scott. Hello?
Hello.
Hi. So before we reveal who we have on the phone right now, we're doing the podcast. We have some special guests to help us out with this sort of big moment, the shot that that Scott has this weekend. What's that song that Eminem does?
Lose Yourself.
Lose Yourself. Oh. Literally, dang, we should have had that song playing this whole time.
That's
so
right.
What we revealed this week on the show, on the on-air show, is that Scott has an opportunity to add to his repertoire and maybe be full time.
Yeah, but I mean, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. He has an audition this weekend with, there we go, with our sister station, K92, in Orlando, our country station. And we have their morning show on right now. Obie and Ashley, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah,
good morning, guys.
Thank you. You know, as you play that music, I feel like we're entering like a WWE wrestling match.
It kind of feels like it.
I love it.
Well, first of all, hey, can we pay you guys compliments? We're big fans of you guys. And I know that we're all part of the same team as far as a family, but you guys have a show that it's just really good, so keep it up.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Same to you. I mean, there's just mutual respect here, I feel like.
Absolutely.
We follow you guys on socials and always are, you know, keeping track of the antics that we all get up to as morning show personalities. So yeah, we love you guys, too.
Yeah, y'all's online social game is strong. Incredible. I see y'all posting on the weekend, and I'm like, damn it!
I know.
I should be posting on the Miguel and Holly, but I'm not going to. I'm going to let them take the credit.
Isn't it like the pressures, man? The pressures of being on social media these days in this industry.
Remember when we started and you could leave at like 11 and noon and that's all you had to do? Not now. You got to be posting on the weekends, all
on
the
vacation.
Time. Oh, it's such a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get to the brass tacks here. Because Scott, we've been following his journey of him trying to be full-time, expand his career.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's auditioning on your radio station in Orlando this weekend. What can he expect from the K92 audience in Orlando?
Ooh. Man, that's a fantastic question because the K92.3 audience here is it's so eclectic, man. You know, we are a hodgepodge of all different types of cultures and whatnot. And so this station has a very unique place in country music, period, because everybody from around the world comes to Orlando, whether it's Disney, Universal. So as far as country music, man, this station is one of the biggest with the influence in the country music scene. Whoa. So to hand it over to you, brother, you know, there's a lot of faith that we're exercising here.
I mean, I didn't even know all of that, you know, in the background. But now it's like, wow, you don't F this up.
What's really cool, though, is like I was tuning in. Like I pulled it up on the app as I was driving around over in Tampa. And I was like, you know, my roots are country. Like that's what I listened to before I actually started on Hot 101.5. And I was bopping. Like it was all of the songs. I was like, oh, man. I was texting my friends. I was like, y'all, this is going to be a fit. This is going to be a fit. I'm telling you.
Ooh, okay.
But now we find out this weekend.
Yeah.
No.
See, so that helps, though. That helps, Scotty, because I'll tell you one thing. There's one thing the country audience is that's loyal, and they expect you to know your ish. So
yes.
If you're already in the know with the artists and the songs and who's the part of the country music scene, you're already a step ahead.
Oh, good. Okay. I felt good about it yesterday, so I guess we'll just find out. So far, so good, but I actually haven't even stepped in the studio yet.
Now, I'm curious, Obie and Ashley, did you both start in country radio, or did you start in another format?
Man, great question, dude. So both of us sitting here have had a previous history being in top 40. So both of us get to come, you know, and even me, before I came over here at K92.3, I was on the hip-hop station for the past 17 years doing morning radio.
That was a transition.
That's a bit of a switch.
So let me share the difference. I'll share the difference of what I get to share as far as when you get to come over to K92.3. You know, what I love about Top 40 and what we love about rhythmic radio, hip-hop radio, is that it is a fun scene. And, man, there's so much party. There's so much, you know, just fun and flexibility there. With K92.3 and coming over to country, man, there's a feeling of family, love, loyalty, community, America, fear, hard work. I don't know. It's a little different. It's almost like it's on a different stage. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Is it more like I did country to start my career. So I did 4 years in country radio and I was always a big like top 40 pop music fan originally. So to go from like college, like I'm over here, you know, vibing out to Rihanna and stuff. And then they brought me onto this country station. The biggest thing I noticed, and tell me if this is true for you guys, is that it's like more real life. Like we're talking about stuff.
Absolutely.
Like I almost can't describe it in a way that doesn't sound weird or like I'm trying to pander or something, but it just feels more real, like real life problems, real life scenarios, where sometimes in like pop music, we're over here talking about like Justin Bieber's issues with fame. And I'm always like,
yeah,
who is dealing with this? No one is dealing with this, but it's like country is real.
No, absolutely. And like Obie said, too, the loyalty of the audience is they are no BS. So, you know, like in our entertainment reports, I don't even bring up a Kardashian because I already know my audience is gagging. Like, ugh, I don't even want to hear about them because
right.
Who cares?
Right.
So with ours, it's like, you know, they care about the real ish that's going on in these artists' lives, not like the sensational tabloid news. Like we talk about the real stuff, even I know it varies by station, but at least on K92.3, like we talk about our real family life situations going on, real daily activities that we run into, and listeners call in. Like it's a super open show, super open station. The listeners, again, as loyal as they are, because remember, this is a heritage station that's been here for over 30 years in Central Florida.
Oh,
so there's now grandkids,
yeah,
of parents and grandparents that listen to the station. So we've got a pretty heavy. A heavy belt to carry on every day.
No pressure.
Actually, it gets me really excited, though, because, like, that's how I grew up. Like, when I grew up in Vero Beach, Florida, like, over a little south of Orlando and on the East Coast, like, that's how the stations are there. It's very much like I had family listening to those stations. Everyone, when we would drive to high school, those were the stations that we listened to. And so it just carries through. So it's like I hope I have that feel when I'm doing it because so far it sounds like just everything I've kind of grown up with.
Aww.
Okay, so I'll pay you a compliment because as we've secretly and creepily listened to a lot of your podcasts, and you've got a great energy, bro, and we will welcome you with open arms. And Miguel and Holly, I want to be very clear with something. So again, with the when we talk about the different formats, everything has its place, right? Like when I go to the gym, bro. When I go to the gym, I need me some real music to work out to. So everything has its place, and we're just glad to have you come over here and test out this place.
Yeah, well, I'm grateful. I can't wait. I'm pumped. I really am. I'm excited to get over there.
Now, one last
question. Hey, the good thing, too, about the country listeners is they do love getting to know, like, everybody on the station. They love to know the real you. So getting to open up and be yourself is just, like, the best part about it.
Oh, well, perfect, because I got like lots of my story.
We may, hopefully we trained you well for that, because we bear it all.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, you guys do.
He said, I know way more like, about y'all than I should.
I actually didn't want to know some of that.
No. Here's the reason why I say it. The reason why I say it is because we are in a different age in radio where it used to be, man, a lot of our personal stuff, you don't share that. You know, you're scared to share that on the radio, and you don't want people in your business.
Right.
But today, guys, we're doing radio differently. And don't forget, we are the original influencers. For you know, YouTube is great, but we're the, you know, people heard about Coca-Cola for the first time on the radio.
Mm-hmm. So, it's very true.
We're all like,
we're like, yeah,
get
girl.
It radio.
Well, I feel like when we first got here to Hot 101.5 and to our the company, a lot of the higher ups, and we go there, by the way, with everything.
Sorry about you.
They were like, whoa, what is all this? Like, I remember, I think it was our very first show on Hot back 5 years ago, and I shared a story about a guy that I had just, like, hung out with here that I just met, and I talked about how I had gained a lot of weight before we moved because I was stressed, and I didn't take my shirt off during our little makeout session, and I told that story the first day that we were on the air, and so many people wrote in, and they were like, what the hell is this? Where's my blown off?
Yeah.
Where's my Hollywood report? I don't want to care about this. And now that we've sort of, you know, opened up this 101.5 frequency to Tampa Bay and to say, hey, we are a place of love and acceptance. We can agree to disagree, but we are family and we want to know it. And so I feel like a lot of what we do here and what we've created on this station is the basis of what you all do at K92.3. So I think, Scott, you're going to fit in like a glove.
I know. I do feel like it's like if that's
prepared.
The vibe. Okay, well, in that case,
and
I do feel better.
Remember, Miguel, as you said that when you guys started, for your listeners, I actually, when Hot launched, I actually came over there on the weekends. I would drive from Orlando to Tampa every weekend after my shows here. I was on air on Hot for like a year when Tim just launched it and helped him launch it. And I would drive back and forth because to your listeners that are listening, I actually grew up in Seminole.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, didn't know that. That's really cool.
Well, when COVID is over, you'll have to come by and do the podcast with us actually in person.
Right.
I know.
That's funny. Hey, so another side note, I went to high school. You know, I grew up in Tampa. So I went to high school there at Howard W. Blake School of Performing Arts.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that either.
Yep. So I was in that, well, at the time it was J Corps, but I was in that other building across the way. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so both of us have roots in Tampa.
We're basically locals in your area.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, one last question, because I know y'all probably got a lot to do on a Friday. What was the hardest part of the transition going from pop radio to country radio?
I'll leave that one to Obi, because I listened to country my whole life, basically, and I have more years in country. So I'll leave this one to Obi.
Okay, after 17 years doing hip-hop radio, there were certain words and terminology that I would still use over here on the country station that just didn't fit, you know what I mean? So, like, you know, certain words that just the country audience didn't appreciate me coming over and using.
No.
But you know what? It took me 1 week. 1 week, and I saw that, and I said, "Oh, okay. I don't have to be that edgy guy on this station because that's not what they're looking for me to be. To you know, they're just looking for me to be real." And man, it changed the game for me because I thought I had to come over here and be all edgy,
right,
to be on a country station. But in fact, man, this audience is, man, they'll read you. They'll read you right and wrong.
There you go, Scott.
Oh, man. What a good trip this is about to be.
I love it.
You're going to do great. You have a great personality. You're a good person. And
you're
honestly,
equipped,
that's
brother.
What the country audience cares about.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Well, it's Obie and Ashley, K92.3, our sister station in Orlando. You can download their app. Listen, well, I don't want to say listen to them in the morning, but I'm sure y'all have podcasts that they can listen
to.
That's
so nice of you. Right.
Totally. I love it. Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time to help walk Scott through his audition tomorrow on your station. We appreciate it.
Hey, you got it, family.
All right. Y'all have a great weekend.
Bye, guys. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
You nervous, Scott?
You know, I'm actually really excited. When I first heard that I got the opportunity to do this, I was like, holy moly, I feel like somebody's like actually diving in and getting to know me a little bit. It felt like the people that are higher up actually took some time to realize like, oh, like he actually does have country roots. This might be a good fit to add on. So it actually felt like, you know, somebody's looking after me a little bit. Of course I'm nervous, but with any opportunity I look at it more as like, you know, no matter what, it's a cool opportunity. No matter what, like I'm getting a chance to do something that could really change my career.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, my life stays as good as it is right now. Mm. If it does, I add something amazing on top of it that's just going to build in my toolbox. So if anything, I'm just really excited. I'm interested to see how it goes. I've never done country radio. I've always listened to country radio. I'm interested to see how I sound on it. I think the first couple breaks, I'm obviously going to be nervous, probably shaking a little bit. But then I'm going to kind of go into my groove, not sweat as much anymore, and just feel pretty good and have fun with it. I'm just going to look forward to this trip and just do the best I can.
I think one of the biggest lessons that I have taken away from my experience here at Hot is I remember our first audition, or not audition, we had gotten the job here, and we did like, was it 3 or 4 overnight shows?
Yeah, I think it was 3.
Yeah, and we came in here at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah,
it
we
was.
Would wake up at midnight and then come in here to do the show from like 1 until 3 or 2 to 4 or something like that. Like a 2-hour practice show in the middle of the night where there's not as many listeners, obviously.
Yeah. Right. And it was for us to get used to like the processing of the microphones. I can get used to the board and the buttons and everything.
We could get used to saying the station name.
Yeah. Right. Because
Miguel.
Girl.
Miguel was not about the 5.
Girl. Well, okay. You got to remember, most of my career was spent on radio stations with just 3 numbers.
Right.
Kiss FM or 97.3 Kiss FM, Island 106.
Wave 100.
Wave 100. And then all of a sudden it was Hot 101.5.
Yeah, all other number.
Girl, I left that 5 out. That 5 was lonely for the first week.
Yes.
I'd be like, Hot 101. And Holly'd be like, 5.
5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. And I had a problem because I would always be the one to shout out the phone number. And knowing a new phone number and saying it is difficult because I would be so used to saying the Island 106 phone number twice.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Did you remember what it was?
850, what was it? Wait a second. I do know because, hold on. But I don't. It was 230-WILN,
230-9456.
9456.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know why? It's 9456 because that's very, very close to the last 4 digits of my social. And one time I effed up my Verizon account because the guy was like, what's the last 4 numbers of your social? I was like, 9456. And he was like, it's not coming up. I'm like, well, what is wrong with you?
Oh,
that was the Island 106 phone. So, yeah. Gosh. And so that was difficult to get out of my head to do our Hot 101.5 phone number.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, but I think after that first show, after, you know, our first week, once I truly was, I got out of my head of like, oh my gosh, this is a top 20 market. This is, you know, one of the top 40 stations in our company and all these people are looking. And, you know, we went from a radio station where, you know, the commercials would sell for like $5. We're here. It's a lot more than that. There's a lot of money riding on everything we say. Once I forgot about all of that and I was just having a conversation with Holly.
Yeah.
It was so much better.
Yeah.
So don't think about all of the things that are around you, like it's been around for 30 years and people from the company.
Honestly, that's all really cool. And I would say that same thing about Hot 101.5. Like we have a lot of cool stats. In the end, it doesn't matter.
No.
Radio is radio. And what's the beautiful thing about radio is that it is a one-on-one communication medium.
Mm.
You're just talking to someone.
Yeah.
You're just talking to one person in their car, and it is a deep and intimate conversation between the two of you. So, like, Miguel would say, like, you know, he and I were talking together, but for you, you're just talking to that person in the car.
Yeah,
and
I got to really
remember
that.
The songs are all the same. Every country radio station is going to be playing the same song. Every top 40 station is playing the same song. In the end, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just you enjoying this music and sharing that and yourself with one person in their car. None of the other stuff matters.
Yeah, no, that's a great thing I need to remember because I haven't done just my own for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get back in if you slipped out.
Ever done like a jock show like that? Like, because they're auditioning for you for nights, right?
Yeah, no, I've done a couple. I haven't done this consistent. Like, this will be the first time it's every day. But, I mean, I've done a couple here. I've done a couple in our other sister stations before. But now it's been, you know, a couple months. I'm a little rusty.
You got to get back on that bike.
Yeah, I got to start riding
again. Yeah, it's just you and the listener in a connection and some music.
Yeah, I'm excited. And I'm very thankful because everyone over there, it's like, you know, automatically is like, we can't wait to have you. Like, you know, I don't get that vibe of, all right, you're coming, like, prove yourself. It's not like prove yourself. Mm. It's like, oh, dude, just have fun. Right. Can't wait to see what you do. And I'm like, thank you. And I have people from all over the country that have, like, moved or friends or old bosses that have literally, like, reached out to me like, oh, I'm listening. I'm like, thank you. Holy moly, this is going to be sweet. Hopefully it goes well, but I am excited. And I'm just, it's kind of cool to see a positive right now happening, opportunity. And I'm just very thankful for that in general.
Tell you what, 2020 is just, and I know, because I'm trying to stop saying that 2020 is a crazy year, because we all, when we keep saying that, we feel like January 1,
all
of a sudden,
change, yeah.
Like, there's going to be a rainbow shooting out.
I'm hoping,
like,
for one.
Woo, it's 2021. Yeah, girl.
The Care Bears are popping out with the Care Bear stare, and they're going to, like, banish the old year. Yeah. Like, what is going to happen?
Captain Planet's going to, like, fly in and shoot out 2020.
The Power Rangers come, and they bring their their morphs, and then they just, yeah. No, none of that is happening.
No, it's going to be, we're going to wake up January 1, and it's still going to be the same.
However, it will be my birthday.
It will be your birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Okay.
On January 1. Yeah. But we have to celebrate the small wins that we have now and remember that and get out of this mindset of, F 2020. Yes, F what's happened, but let's look at the positive moving forward so we can have a good 2021, no matter what happens.
Correct.
Because even if it does end up being shitty and we still end up, you know, the vaccine goes crazy or whatever like that, you know, it's fine. Speaking of the vaccine, I didn't want to say this on the air.
Oh, God. What?
I want to say it on the podcast because I've just finished watching this TV show. We're changing subject.
Oh, wow. Oh, here we go.
Thank you for that, Mark.
I know, right? I just watched this TV show on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And it's called Utopia.
Oh, dear.
And this,
is that with Zendaya? Is that who's in
it? No, that's Euphoria on HBO.
Oh, sorry.
This is Utopia.
Sorry.
Utopia, Euphoria, girl.
I was confused.
Dystopia. Right. I mean, you know.
Okay, sorry.
So basically the premise is someone fakes a disease, a virus, like a pandemic.
They fake it?
They create it.
Oh.
They unleash it.
Oh.
People are sick.
Oh,
God.
Then they create a vaccine.
Oh, my God. Why would someone put this out?
Now, let me tell you, this is spoiler alert. If you're watching the show or if you're going to watch the show, literally, neither of you would watch this show. I barely watched it because some of these scenes, like the violent scenes, I was like, this is too much.
Really? For you?
Yeah, for me, they showed too much. I was like, oh, girl, that was a lot.
Okay, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. The company that created the virus also created a vaccine.
Oh, jeez.
And so when they create the vaccine, the guy, actually John Cusack, is like the main villain.
Oh.
And at the last episode, he reveals his master plan is that our planet can't sustain the growth of population that we have. And so in the vaccine, it's going to sterilize everyone who takes it. And so it's going to stop childbirth for like two generations to like, so people won't have children. And so after two generations, we'll control the population because not everyone's going to get the vaccine. Yeah. So there'll still be kids, but there just won't be as much.
Oh.
And so then like the people are like, oh my God. And then they try to like stop it from happening.
But, oh,
but
wow.
I was like, why would you put that out now?
Why would you do that shit?
Why? And I didn't know that that's what it was about. I thought it was about these, like, nerds finding a comic book, and they're like, try because it's actually true, and they were going to go on this adventure. And then it turned into that, and I was like, why?
Yo, yeah. Why would you even put that shit out? Because you know that there are at least thousands of people on this planet that think that that's actually happening.
I just finished this show this past weekend, and so now this week has all been about Pfizer's meeting, the FDA's meeting.
I can't believe they would put that's actually really irresponsible.
I was like, now they do have a warning before. It's like, this is fiction. It's not based on truth. And yeah, I get it. But like when you watch it and then like literally the next day I turn on and like you see all the people from the FDA meeting to talk about the vaccine. And I'm like, girl, John Cusack is sitting in a glass house somewhere laughing like, I'm going to sterilize the world.
You know what else had a similar storyline was what was that one Dan Brown book? Not Da Vinci Code, not Angels and Demons.
It was the book.
There was a book, may have been a movie, but it was like, it happened. I don't know if it turned into a movie or not, but it's a very similar thing. Some henchman, villain, whatever, was going to go to Italy, I think, and unleash a virus that was supposed to be population control.
Yes.
Same concept. Yes. Because this person and this group of like masterminds was like, it's out of control. Our planet can't sustain this. Mm-hmm. So this is going to knock out like, oh my God, that's the fucking plot of Avengers.
Oh.
Right?
I've never seen Avengers.
Okay, that is a whole other discussion that we need to have in just a short moment. Jesus. I mean, spoiler alert there, but that's basically the premise. Like, that's what Thanos wants to do.
Right.
He wants to snap his fingers and knock out half of the entire universe because it's too much.
Right.
The universe can't sustain it. So he's like, and it's like always these villains, it's morally ambiguous. Same thing with this, I'm sure, because like, they're like, okay, either we let it keep going at this rate and everybody dies eventually because we cannot sustain this population, or I will throw myself on the sword and just kill half of everybody. And then the other half that lives gets to live. That's the whole thing. That's the premise. Why is that the premise of like all of these new?
Well, we do have a lot of people.
Well, I mean, I think that what happens with creative types like that, they get inspiration from what happens in the real world.
Right.
And I mean, and it's true. I mean, I watch all these documentaries about the earth and climate control climate change and all that stuff. And it's scary.
It's
like, we're at that point. Like when we were younger, it would be like, oh, let's save the planet.
Remember when they would like had to teach us what recycling was?
Right. It was like, ooh, let's
It's exciting.
We're going to save the planet.
Yeah, cut your soda can rings and all that.
Yeah. And I remember like being in some science class and they were like, you know, about 5 million years, 5,000 years from now, like the sun will explode or whatever in like our galaxy.
Oh, no worries. Like 5,000 years.
No worries.
I was in third grade. I about lost my mind. I was like, we're going to die. And they were like, no, no.
Yeah.
But I feel like now they're like, well,
turning point.
20 years away.
Yeah.
And I think I just heard a stat that, let me see if I can remember this correctly. All of the things that we have built on this planet, the buildings, just everything that is man-made, now weighs more than all of the animals and all of the earth, like trees and sand and ocean. What we've created weighs more than all of what's on the earth.
Oh my Lord.
How does that work though? Because all of the materials that make it come from the earth.
Girl, I didn't ask questions. Girl, I was already like, first off, how do you measure that?
Right.
Secondly, what the fuck?
Very smart people.
How does that, like, where, it's not like we created matter. Like, where did it come from?
Right.
I'm sorry. I
heard this, I'll send you the podcast I heard it from.
Okay.
But I was just like, whatever it is, we're fucked.
Oh, God.
And I'm sorry for the people that are like, climate control or climate change isn't real. What do you think everything that we put out, there is a reaction to it?
Yeah.
Like, we can't just keep doing what we do.
No.
And everything's just fine.
No. That's why there has been this movement that's been... You know, when I got on board the climate change back in '05, when I sat down on a random ass, like, Thursday night or whatever by myself in my first 20-something apartment and watched The Inconvenient Truth with Al Gore.
Yes! Oh, my...
And
yeah.
After... And I didn't even understand why it was called that until the end, and I sat there, like, dumbfounded in my own house, my own apartment, and I was like...
It's inconvenient.
That is truly an inconvenient truth. Like, it is, because it, like, the movie was like, sorry to tell you this,
right,
but you're going to have to change some shit, and it's not going to be convenient for you. And I was like, that's why it's called that. But that's when I figured out, like, if you haven't seen the movie, obviously it's probably dated now, but it really brought it home. And I was like, it's...
Well, that's what, and that's what you... What really boggles my mind about, and maybe it's just us here in America, but like my townhouse, for instance, 2 years ago, went to an HOA meeting. Dylan went with me, and we tried to get recycling because we don't recycle in our complex. And they were like, oh, girl, we don't have any space. Like, we can't do it. And I'm like, but we spend all this money on fixing the roofs and the front of the places and $30,000 on landscaping every month and all this stuff that we do, but we can't spend $5,000 to add something to the trash receptacle to help save the planet. Because I feel like what happens is we all, and we're all guilty of it, where we're like, well, I could not keep the water running when I'm brushing my teeth, but it's just me.
Yeah, just you.
What's
times
that gonna change?
A billion.
But like, when we all do it, that's just what's so frustrating.
Yes.
And that's leading in the politics, what makes me so angry sometimes with the people that deny climate change. And I'm like, all this stuff that we're putting out, what do you, like,
what
do you think it's
happens?
Going? Like, we are affecting this place that we live.
Just because you can't see it anymore once your trash man takes it away doesn't mean it disappears.
No, it goes somewhere.
But I learned about that in school, too, because I had to do a science project on something like that. But it's like, if you were to go, like, 1 week without your trash collectors, then you'd be like, well, what the hell is going on?
No, sure.
Because my trash gets collected on Thursday, and I don't have, like, a one house size bin. I have, like, a large thing in, like, a back alley.
Right.
So it's, like, several neighbors throwing it in there, and my trash gets picked up on Thursday. So Thanksgiving, they didn't do it, obviously. They didn't, like, add a second one to it. They just didn't do it on Thanksgiving. Mm. By the next time, you would have thought the apocalypse had happened. There was so much trash, overflowing, animals had gotten into it. It was a shit show.
Wow.
And I was like, that's one missed day.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, when you really think about it, it's very sobering. And I don't say that to, like, shame or do I it's just, for me, I was like, this is physical evidence that we have an issue of garbage.
Oh, and just our society, not to just pile on in the scary stuff.
We're already piling on.
I know,
right? As well.
I mean,
scared.
I feel like the first part of this podcast was so hopeful. We got to, like, balance it out with some scary shit.
Oh, that's your mind. Yep.
That's how I like to live life.
Yes, you do.
That we are, like, one flick of a stroke of somebody shutting off the power or doing something crazy would totally ransack our society.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so sobering to me after Irma, when even just the thought of a hurricane coming, when we were leaving Tampa, and I remember driving to Panama City, all the gas stations were out of gas. People were, like, fighting over it. People were running out of gas on the side of the car, on the side of the street. And it, like, what, that drive to Panama City from Tampa is, what, like, 6 hours,
yep.
I think? Mm-hmm. It took us, like, 15 hours to get there that day. Almost ran out of gas. And I just remember sitting there moving. It took us 3 hours to move, like, 5 miles. And I was like, this is, like, nothing is wrong. Like, the power's working. There's food on the shelves. This is just the thought of the hurricane coming.
Yeah.
What would happen if something really catastrophic happened to us?
Chaos, yeah.
Our country, our world is so thinly put together.
Yeah.
It's a scary thought.
Yeah. Because think about just like everything that depends on electricity.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're all like, oh yeah, well, we have my phone and everything. Okay. So you got one day your battery is going to last.
Right.
So electricity's gone for like, let's just say it gets out, it's knocked out a week. What? Miguel and I used to watch this show called Revolution.
Oh, girl. That freaked me out.
I know.
Oh, dear.
That was when we started.
Ooh, this is why you're scared. this is it.
That was when Miguel and I were also watching The Walking Dead.
All right, y'all. I see where it comes from.
You have to understand, we watched a lot of tragic TV at the time. Yeah. So we were watching The Walking Dead. We watched that show, Revolution, which the premise of it was that all of anything technological, like energy, like your power, and also batteries, everything just in one stroke was shut off. And what would happen, in the show was about like, you know, that was like what happened last year or whatever. And then the show, fast forward, you have the society living without any electricity or battery power, nothing powered, period. Mm. And so then Miguel and I like made a list of what we would gather together and how we would try to survive. And I'm sure, because I was married at the time, and my ex-husband was like, y'all, I'm going to play softball.
we're
sitting on the couch like eating pizza. We're like, okay, bye.
We're going to survive.
We're going to sit here and figure this out.
But it's true. I mean, listen, Abe and I went looking at houses a couple weeks ago, and there's this builder, and we were like looking at the house. Everything was great. And he was like, and we also provide this, I forgot what, like this energy saving pack, that's not the term, but it was like, we also can put a generator on the side of your house. So if the power goes out, and I was like, really? You can do that? And what is all, does it power in your house? Because I really want that. And he was like, you have not asked about anything else in this house but about the generator. And I'm like, I've always wanted one, because you never know if that power goes out. If the zombies come, you need something to power your house.
The zombies, I'm telling you right now, I've said it before. If there are zombies, we're done. There's no. You're not going to escape the zombies.
Are you not going to try?
No, probably not. Scott's, I'll give it a day of trying, and then I'm like, no.
He wants us to just shoot him.
I do. Like, honestly, because if there are zombies, what, you're going to eliminate the zombies?
Wait a minute.
No.
We can't shoot you. I'm sorry, you have a.
You said that with so much conviction. Like, we can't shoot you.
Wait for the follow up, because it's really, really unfortunate. I almost don't want to say it now.
Please.
not because we couldn't. You have a lot of muscles.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're going to need you, okay?
It's like, true.
We need you to carry shit. I'm sorry. And, like, if I need you to knock someone out, I'm going to, like, I can't. I don't have the upper body strength. But I'm smart. So I need, we can't shoot you. We need you.
I just don't know. Like, if there's millions of zombies,
Okay, million. Well, that's not how it went in The Walking Dead.
No. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, there's a lot of dead people.
Well, here's the thing. I've always said, depending upon what kind of zombies we would get.
That's what I'm saying.
That would decide on if I wanted to live or not.
Like, let's say
they run.
Yeah, like they're World War Z zombies.
Girl, bye, kill, just shoot me.
I'm not even doing that. Shoot me. No, we're shooting each other.
No, if a zombie can outrun a car, I'm just going to run my car over the Skyway Bridge because I'm done. I'm not. Nope.
I don't want to go out a car on the Skyway.
No,
that's
girl.
Horrifying.
Let's go, girl. Let's go out. Let's go out big.
Hell no.
But if we have Walking Dead zombies where you can trick them, like, by putting blood on yourself.
Wander around a lot.
Exactly. Like, then, okay, let's do it.
What kind of life is that to live?
I mean, you got
to
try.
You do, and you get to repopulate and rebuild the society. That would be a fun part. Once you get through, like, the first, like, 5 years, it'll be, like, really tough as we try to, like, figure it out. Because remember, we don't know what sort of zombies they would be. We got to figure it out. We got to figure out, how do you kill them? Is it just through the brain, like Walking Dead? Can you just shoot them in the chest?
Per zombie lore, it's got to be the brain.
Right. Can we take the guts of one of the zombies and put it on us, and then they don't know, and they think that we're one of them.
The amount of thought that y'all put into this.
That seems to be how it all works, though, because do you remember, even in World War Z, that's how I think Brad Pitt got through the zombies, because he was sick.
Right. Right.
And so and I think it was, he was sick, and they didn't want him.
Right, right. And they so just ran past somehow him.
Scott, what?
I just can't believe, like, it literally shows why y'all are scared of stuff with how much planning y'all have about this.
Okay, hold on.
Scared or prepared?
Thank you.
I think it's the same.
Two things, and I hope I remember both points. One, Walking Dead. Do you remember Dirty John, the show that was on? It was a podcast. It had Connie Britton. But anyway, it was about this lady in California who met this guy who was like a faker outer and like basically conned her and was like stealing her money and all this stuff. And he tried to like rope her off from her family. And then like he got really crazy and he tried to kill one of her daughters.
I don't remember that at
all. Yeah, this was like a popular show. It was a couple years ago.
I remember hearing about it.
Yeah, Dirty John. Really good if you want to watch something to watch. But this was actually based on a true story. Like it really happened.
Yeah.
Well, the daughter that the guy tried to kill, she's like super shy, but she watched The Walking Dead. And so because of her watching the show for years, she knew where to retaliate against him and stab him. And that's what saved her life is by watching The Walking Dead.
Is this a true story?
Absolutely. It's a podcast by Wondery, and it's also a show. It's on Netflix, Dirty John.
Okay.
It's really fascinating. But they go more into that whole Walking Dead part of it on the podcast.
Yeah.
So one, it can save your life. Two, how many times when you watch a TV show or a movie and they don't set the alarm that one time, or they, you know, don't charge their phone that one night, or it's always that one time that they don't do whatever it is they've done to protect themselves, that's when they die or the monster or the zombie or something happens. That's why when I wake up and I come down the stairs and I see that no one in our house set the alarm, I get fucking pissed.
Yeah, you
because
do.
I'm like, that could be that one time. Like, we could set the alarm every day for 2 years, and that one time somebody doesn't set it is the time that someone's going to walk in and kill us.
Y'all, my door, my front fucking door was open one morning.
Girl.
Like,
that's when I lose my ish.
I was beside myself. I don't even know how this happened. I think it must have been my mom or my daughter's fault. I don't mean unlocked. I mean it was open by like 2 inches.
Ooh.
What?
Girl, that sends a shiver down my spine.
Well, how do you think I felt at like 5 a.m. where I was like, I don't even know what made me go in that area, but I was like, and then I had to like do that thing where I'm like, is someone in my house?
Girl. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm thinking the whole time, looking around everything.
Terrifying. I know it happened to my best friend, too, because she said that her door was open. This was recent because she's like, I'm her friend that she can text early in the morning because I wake up early.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, she texted me as I was like getting up and like, you know, brushing my teeth and stuff. She's like, my front door is open. What? And we managed to deduce that it was just an accident and like the wind had blown it open or something happened because she has a dog and the dog is so on it. I'm talking like when I go to visit and I move my position to like get up from a chair, the dog's like,
that's why you get a dog.
So we had deduced that if anyone had like come in the house, the dog would have gone insane. And the dog was just sleeping through the night, no worry, no problem at all. And so she's like, okay, it was an accident.
Mm.
But still, like, these things happen.
No, it's true.
It sucks.
I mean, that's one of the, I've thought about this too, and I think that whenever Abe and I live alone, just the two of us, is when I would feel comfortable getting a dog because of when he's not there for the times that, like, he goes to Buffalo and I'm just alone.
Then
that would make me feel better because I remember, like, the two years that I lived alone before Abe and I got together. And, like, I remember there were some nights where it's just my mind goes into crazy ways that I would be, like, terrified at my house. And I'd have, like, all the lights on in my one-bedroom apartment. And I think it was like one or two nights when I first bought my townhouse that before Dylan moved in and it was just me.
Oh, Lord.
Girl, I had like every dresser up against my bedroom door because I'm like, if somebody walks in here, they're going to have a hard time getting in, bitch. I'll make it difficult for you to kill me.
Oh,
it ain't going to be easy. Well, there you go.
Wait a minute. Can we circle back to the very beginning of this tragic conversation?
Yes.
So you said, was there any other point that you were trying to make about the vaccine? Because you started with... let me tell you about the vaccine. And then we talked about that show that you watched. And then we talked about Dan Brown. And we talked about all this, the right. zombies.
It just went into this whole scary part. No. Oh, I think my whole point was just that, like, I'm going to get it. I don't think I've heard anything about if you've had COVID, like how that affects if you should or can or whatever. But if it is offered to us, I would get it. But after watching that show,
it does put some fear.
I'm still going to get it. But it makes me think about John Cusack's character being like, I'm actually going to save the planet.
I think that's why one of my friends was like, why are people so scared to get this vaccine?
Well, I will also tell you, too, from like a serious historical for the black community, why a lot of black folk are nervous is because if you look up the Tuskegee Airmen from back in the day, where they experimented on black people, told them they were helping them, but they were giving them syphilis and leaving it untreated.
To see what would happen.
Yeah, and they used to do that to slaves back in the day as well. They would experiment with them because it was thought back then that black people weren't humans and that we could bear more pain than white people. And so they would experiment without any pain medication, without anything on slaves. So there has been this generational distrust of the medical community from the black community. And so that's why, and then let's just be honest, Trump, my mom is like, if Trump is telling me to get a vaccine, I ain't getting it. I don't, If Joe Biden and Kamala Harris tell me and they, like, show me they're going to get it, I'm fine. So there's just this historical distrust of the medical community and the government, quite frankly, too.
Yeah. Yes. And I also think part of it is, because this is how I explain, too. That's a good point that I didn't bring up that I will. But part of it, too, is with that whole anti-vaxxer movement that started all because of Jenny McCarthy and autism. And there's still a lot of confusion out there about vaccines, period.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So not only is there misinformation, disinformation, it's difficult to, if you're just like, you know, an average Joe who doesn't have access to like some of the news sources like that we do, for example, you're like, where do I even find this information to get the right one? So I'm like, I think there's a lot of confusion. Mm-hmm. My mom doesn't want to take the vaccine.
Yeah.
I was like, well, okay. So I'd like you to get it when we have it. And she's like, okay. But not, I'm not being one of the first people. Mm. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Because there's also a fear that she's like, if I'm one of the first, what if there's something wrong?
Mm.
And that kills me.
Right.
It's tough times right now.
Or what if it's John Cusack sitting back in his glass house?
Maybe it's John Cusack. Yeah. I don't know. I only picture John Cusack as a romantic lead, so I'm having a hard time with this.
Girl, you need to watch this show. But in this show, and that's what fucks you up, is because he's, like, very loving, too. Like, he's like that, like, good bad guy where he's like, I'm really just trying to save the world.
But that's what Thanos. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why those bad guys are so good, because it's very muddy. You're like, okay, I see your point.
Right, right. And then, like, literally, like, you know, they always have that big scene at the end where he finally reveals his plan.
It's always a master plan reveal.
And then, like, there's a little part of you that's kind of like, I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
He ain't lying.
He's not, like, a complete psychopath who only is out to murder people.
He's trying to save the world.
There's a thought behind it I get it.
Yeah, he's not murdering anyone. He's just saying you can't have kids. Watch the show if you want.
Oh, man.
Utopia on Amazon Prime.
Not now. Good Lord.
All right, Utopia, Amazon Prime, and Dirty John on Netflix are the recommendations. All right.
Revolution. I think Revolution. There was one season if you want to see what happened while all the electricity goes out. And then I can't remember that Dan Brown book/thing.
I remember because I read all his books.
Was it The Lost Symbol or was it the other one?
I have a list. Is it Deception Point?
No, but that was a good book.
That one. All of his books, I will tell you, if
something
you are a reader, any book before the Da Vinci Code for Dan Brown was good. Everything after the Da Vinci Code from Dan Brown, I feel like he was trying too hard. And it was just like, girl, he's trying to use
more, right?
All of these historical points. What are you looking for?
There's only 6 books listed here. Is there more?
I don't
know. I have no idea. I don't even know who he is.
Oh, no, that's just a 6 book pack.
Yeah.
Hold on. Dan Brown novels. Now I'm just using your phone, sorry.
That's fine.
Let's see real quick.
Do, 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 do,
I know.
Do, 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 do,
it's,
do.
Oh, it might be Inferno.
Inferno.
Inferno, yes, that was
That's
it.
That's what it is.
2013, you're yes. right. That's it.
So it's Inferno. And I, did they make a movie out of that one? I think they might have.
Actually, I don't think I read Inferno, actually.
That's the one where they're trying to release this virus. And of course, you know, Robert Langdon's on the case. I think he's in it.
You know what? I didn't read that because I felt that's one of the ones where I felt like Dan Brown was trying too hard.
It's good. I liked it. I didn't like it as much as The Lost Symbol. I loved The Lost Symbol. They didn't make a movie out of it,
mm-hmm.
and I was pissed. But then they jumped over that and made a movie out of Inferno, which was, I thought the book was good. Not as good as Lost Symbol to me, but man.
I'll have to try it again. But all of his ones before Da Vinci Code, like Deception Point.
Digital Fortress, I thought. Oh, that was like, was that the one up in Antarctica or whatever?
Yes, yes. That
I
was so
I loved that.
So
yeah,
good.
He's good.
All right, we're done. We got to go.
Oh, sorry.
Holly, what's your social media?
Radio Holly on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram.
Scott?
At Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin.
And I am Miguel Fuller, MiguelFullell. FuLLER. It's Friday, okay. And my brain is oozing out. Also, zombies. It's happening. If you want to be on the intro of the podcast, help us kick it off. You can always leave an open mic on the Hot 101.5 app. And if you want a Miguel and Holly sticker, just shoot me an email, miguel@hot1015tampabay.com. Bye.
Catch up with the previous episodes of the Miguel and Holly Uncensored podcast from Hot 101.5.
Just hit up the Hot 101.5 app, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.
Search Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Uncensored.